Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisiscle.com/podcast.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Mary Kissel, Executive Vice President, Stevens Incorporated, former senior advisor to the Secretary of State, many years in Asia for the Wall Street Journal editorial board. We come to the Asian edition of the Bloomberg headlines that bring the war in Europe together with the conflict with the dictatorship of Xi Jinping. U.S. confronts China over companies' ties to Russia war effort. U.S. to boost pressure on China to stop importing Iran oil. China slams U.S. on debt limit and accuses Washington of sabotage. The war of words is back, Mary, but at the same time, there is a charm offensive underway. Old friends, we can work together. Investment, welcome. China is not nearly the egregious monster you've been told by your editorial pages. I don't believe it. You don't believe it. But is that enough to say that America is not going to fall for it again? What is your measure now, Mary? You travel widely.
Well, I think the key word there is, again, during the Trump administration in which I served, China was actively helping Iran. Chinese companies were doing exactly the same thing, buying Iranian oil. And we put sanctions on those companies. But we never went a step further, which is secondary sanctions, which is to say any company around the world that's doing business with those Chinese companies will also be sanctioned. And that's really the key to deterrence. And we didn't do that. And the Biden administration doesn't sound like they're going to do that. And so the behavior will continue until there are real consequences. Now, as to Xi's charm offensive, I mean, it is on. Green light, come to China. There is no doubt that he wants companies not just buying financial assets, but investing in manufacturing and bringing their people in. There's a special fund, I think, that's been set up to encourage scientific investment in R&D. I don't think American companies, by and large, will be suckered in. I think that the scales have fallen from the eyes of many CEOs in America, and also a lot of investors who are the people that I talk to for Stevens. They understand now that they simply can't trust their counterparts because they lie and they steal and they cheat. And so if anything, it would be the Europeans who are the other economic force in China that really matter, who will go in there. They care less about things like human rights violations. They've shown that. And they are just looking to make a profit, particularly because a lot of companies in Europe were closely tied to Russia, particularly in Germany. And now they need to find another market. And a lot of them are going to look to China, to which I say good luck, because no matter what Xi Jinping says, that system in toto is not changing. And the government has more and more influence over what goes on in those Chinese companies. And ultimately, those companies have to do what the Chinese Communist Party says. So if you're in the German Mittelstand and you think that you're going to manufacture machine parts with a Chinese company, and it's going to just be just like manufacturing machine parts in the United States, well, it isn't. And I think one day a lot of these folks are going to be in for a really nasty surprise.
China's Belt and Road, Mary. There are anecdotes saying that it's shoddy, it's fragile, it's broken, abandoned projects, underfinanced projects, debts being called. Do you hear these same anecdotes? Is there much to it?
Well, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen was in Zambia this week, to her great credit, talking about Chinese projects there and just how shoddy they were and the debt that Zambia now owes to China. And we should be doing a lot more of that. I thought it was great that she went there and held a press conference and talked about these problems. But again, just like our trade policy that I mentioned on the prior segment, you have to have the other piece of it, which is you can't just complain and wag your fingers. You have to come up with innovative ways to entice American and European companies in to places like Africa to build these projects themselves. And I think that's where we're falling down. And there's a really interesting role here for USTR, our trade rep, for the State Department, for the Commerce Department to put their heads together and come up with a strategy. I just haven't seen it yet.
A puzzle for me, Mary, from way from the outside, is how do you do business with a state that is bold-faced, abusive to its own people, to its neighborhood, making routine threats against the trade lanes in the South China Sea, holding Jimmy Lai in prison for the rest of his life? How do you do business with that? How do you sit across the table and keep a straight face? How do they do it, Mary?
Well, we do business with a lot of nasty regimes. So Vietnam is one. That's another communist nation. The difference with Vietnam is that they share our strategic goals. It's a very realist partnership where they feel threatened by China, and so do we. And therefore, they pitch in and help us in a number of ways. And we try to encourage moving manufacturing from China to Vietnam. Now, that's not going to solve our China problem anytime soon. But it is important to make the point that we do partner with lots of not so nice regimes. I think the difference is not just that they share our strategic goals, but let's take Saudi Arabia, another really horrific regime in terms of human rights. That being said, Saudi Arabia is starting to reform, and you do see more liberties, in particular for women in that society. John Hanna at JINSA just did a fantastic column on this. I recommend it to everybody. That's H-A-N-N-A-H, Hanna. And so we also feel when we partner with some of these regimes that if they share our strategic goals and we think we can push them to reform, that it's worth our time and effort. And it is. But with China, they don't want to reform. They don't share our strategic goals. They are effectively already at war with us in places like the cybersphere. But clearly, we're not going to change that system. They see us as an enemy. So I don't know how you sit across from them. And I don't frankly know why we're going to such an effort to try to sit down with them and have these quote unquote dialogues when they've given us nothing. Why is it that Secretary of State Antony Blinken is going over there? What does he hope to achieve? More talking? Well, that's not useful. That just gives China more time to build itself up and achieve dominance over us. I think we need to look at the world in a colder and more realistic and pragmatic way. I'm not saying abandon our values, but we have to be real. If we've had dialogue with Beijing for four decades and we've seen exactly the same behavior, then you need to try a different tack.
One more detail about the charm offensive. It's underway also in Europe. Is Europe accepting it again, Mary? What is your measure? We have about a minute. Does Europe buy this act?
Well, again, you can't say Europe. You have to divide it into old and new. Baltic nations like Lithuania don't buy it at all. And you've seen them open up a representative office in Taiwan and really take a lot of criticism from the Chinese government. And they're fine with that. Czech Republic, same thing. Germany, completely different story. Scholz was very happy to go to Beijing and be humiliated by Xi Jinping, who barely looked at him and made clear that she was the dominant guy in the room. And yet Olaf Scholz said, "Oh, well, that trip was worth it. I brought a business delegation." And Xi Jinping assured me that he would never use nuclear weapons. I mean, it's a joke. So some nations in Europe get it. Others don't. But I think the good news here is that America does get it across many industries and across the political spectrum. And that is extremely important and a great development that it is not a partisan issue in the United States.
Mary Kissel, Stevens Incorporated, former senior advisor to the Secretary of State. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Life with CIDP can be tough, but the Thrive Team, a specialized squad of experts, helps people living with CIDP make more room in their lives for joy. Watch Rare, Well Done.
An all-new reality series, Rare, Well Done, offers help and hope to people across the country who live with the rare disease CIDP. Watch the latest episode now, exclusively on RareWellDone.com.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shaped the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.